Greetings and salutation, my friends. Salutations. I even got the freaking greeting wrong. Whatever. It's Saturday, April 29th. You know, 15 years ago today, I won a trip to Hawaii. And it was a horrible trip. and I have Bob Suska here with me. He's my guest today. He lived in Hawaii. Yeah, I won a trip to Maui and wound up going with a girlfriend of mine. And it was just a freaking hideous trip from start to finish.
Because you did it all wrong.
Of course. Plus, I have a thing about vacations. I'm cursed. My mother will vouch for this. But I am cursed on vacation. But what did I do wrong?
Yeah, what happened? I mean, let me ask you this then. Okay. I mean, just as a way to set up what you did wrong, what were you doing when you gashed yourself? When you just
That was toward the end of the trip.
You sliced your arm clean open.
Well, that was stupid. Okay, so I'm going over all. Let me just say, we landed and we got our rental car, and which by the way got hit and run. Just not terribly, but a dent in it. On one of the days that I was parked, I came out to the car and somebody freaking hit it and ran. But we got to the airport, we picked up our car, and we were asking everybody for directions to our hotel, which evidently was a very easy island to navigate. But when you don't know the where you are,
yeah,
you don't know. So anyway, we're asking everybody and their brother in Hawaii where's the whatever hotel I was staying in.
It's Bruna. In Hawaii, it's Brudda, not brother.
Brudda.
that's how they say it.
So, you're Hawaii-splaining to me.
I know.
Anyway, but that's okay. So, everybody was giving us terrible directions, and we were driving around for like an hour. Finally, we literally meet like the guy who's the town drunk, and he wound up actually giving us the best directions. So, go figure.
Map?
And then
maybe?
And then, I know, but whatever. And then we were all excited to have like the Hawaiian fruit. And, we were just anticipating.
Which you can get like anywhere on the side of the road. Like not even from a stand. No, not even from a stand. There's wild fruit just growing along the road. Just like trees full of avocados.
We were looking forward to the coconuts and the pineapple. And we kept asking everybody, where can we find this? And they kept telling us to go to Safeway.
Yeah. Well, they don't grow pineapple in Hawaii anymore.
Well, whatever. We just wanted fresh fruit. And we were told to go to Safeway where all the fruit was from Chile. And it's like,
we can get
this in LA.
Yeah, well, exactly. Although the pineapple that you get in Hawaii is grown in Mexico or Chile or something like that.
But, there are Hawaiian fruits that we wanted to enjoy. So anyway, then finally, we go to Hana.
Yeah.
And that's our trip to Hana, which is the rainforest. And you're supposed to take leisurely drives into Hana. And we were making jokes that we were making really good time because we were like speeding through Hana. Anyway, I was at the time, how old am I now? I'm 48. So it was 15 years ago. So it's like 33. Mm-hmm. And so I was with my girlfriend who's about the same age. And so somehow we saw this group of young men, like early 20s.
Like locals, like Hawaiian.
I don't know if they were, local. No, they weren't Hawaiian. They were white guys and they were drunk.
Howlies, yeah.
And one of them kept saying that we needed to all get together after our little excursion and have Muay Thais. And it's like, oh my God, Muay Thais? Mai Thais. He meant Mai Thais.
Oh, right. Okay.
But he was drunk. So anyway, I remember before I left, my mother told me that I should, if we were going to go in the rainforest, that I should wear, my tennis shoes or whatever. So of course I'm wearing I have flip-flops all the time. And so we're, these guys spot, like I guess they were in front of us in the car and we're following them and we pull over and they spot some waterfall or whatever it was. And in order to get to this waterfall, you had to climb up this little cliff and there was a rusty old shack right next to it. So I think I actually did put on my tennis shoes. And my girlfriend looked at it and said, I'm not doing that. And I'm like, I'm going to do it. And we were laughing at ourselves because we didn't like these young boys, but we were just so in love with the attention we were getting from them. So I climb up this cliff and so close to the roof of the rusty old shack and my foot slips and I fall and I get the rusty old shack just goes into the fleshy part of the back of my arm
Jesus.
Rips it open.
Oh my God.
And I passed out and I remember I felt nauseous and
yeah, because this, I mean, let's clarify. This isn't a scratch or even a small cut.
No, it's a
this
gash.
This is a gash. Yeah. I mean, another few inches and you're cutting your arm off.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just a, it was a huge gash. Yeah.
And so then I wound up, and it was funny because I kept calling my mother during, you know, this horrid trip and relaying all of our horrible experiences. Mm-hmm. We got a sunburn the first day, and my girlfriend was so convinced, she was so dramatic. She was she said she's like got a blister, which I couldn't even see, on her face, and that she was going to need plastic surgery.
Oh,
I was
God.
Like, oh, please. So we wound up staying in watching movies one of the days. Anyway, so I would call my mother and say this happened, and then, you know, somebody hit our car, and then this happened. So, and at the time, my mother was working on Days of Our Lives. We knew she was at the studio. So I don't know how she did it, but my girlfriend, maybe it was a cell phone situation, but anyway, my girlfriend called from the Hana Hospital where I was getting stitched up, mm-hmm. where actually those guys took us. Like they drove to the Hana Hospital and make sure I got there. So they were nice.
Yeah.
Those guys were nice. And we you know, that all ended there. So my friend calls my mother. She's like, Anne, hi. I just want you to know Kimberly's in Hana Hospital. She's going to be okay.
Oh, God.
My mom's in the makeup room at Days of Our Lives hearing her daughter's in the hospital at in Hana in the rainforest. Of course. So that, you know, I had a horrible time. But yeah. I did win. It was so funny because I was at the time working as a fragrance model. Perfume, like I would...
this is what I've been looking at. I just tried a few different Hawaiian songs, and this is the one I was looking for.
I was working, like I said, as a fragrance model, which means I would work for a perfume company, and I would go in to different department stores, and, you know, I'm like the fragrance accoster where I hand out the cards.
Yeah.
Anyway, so there was a contest. I think it was Kiss FM was doing a contest, and I entered it, and I completely forgot. So...
stupid radio contest.
Yeah, so on April 29th...
Kiss FM, went to Hawaii and get your arm cut open.
Only Kimberly would, though.
Scramble up cliffs to see waterfalls. You're going to get your arm cut open. Kimberly Johnson, you won!
And I went to Hawaii and I have the scar to prove it. Oh, yeah. But so I get this call from this man and he's like, Kimberly? Yeah. Hi, this is so-and-so from Kiss FM. And I wasn't on the air or anything, but... Yeah. He's like, and you want a trip to Hawaii? And I'm like, who is this? And I almost hung up. And he's like, it's so-and-so from Kiss. I'm like, come on, who is this? And he had like 5 minutes he's trying to convince me. And then I remembered. I'm like, oh, yes, I entered. So there you go.
Yeah.
And what was really funny was that at the time I was seeing this man, and we weren't boyfriend-girlfriend. We were just dating. And he was one of those...
Did you like him or did you just like him?
Well, it was confusing because I actually just liked him.
Yeah.
But when you're intimate and when you're dating someone and then there's intimacy, mm-hmm. You get confused.
Right.
So it didn't mean that I was ever in love with him because I never was. But, you know, I liked him. But then it's confusing.
Yeah.
So I had initially asked him to go to Hawaii with me and I figured, oh, this is smart because he had some money. He wasn't rich, but he had some money and he was going to upgrade everything that we had. So then he wound up pissing me off. And this is something, nothing new. He pisses me off and I was yelling at him on the phone. and then I hung up and I thought, you know what? He's not fucking going to Hawaii with me.
Yeah, damn it.
And I call him back. I'm like, just in case you thought you were still going to Hawaii. And he couldn't believe it. And he's like, oh, you Indian giver. You he called me an Indian giver.
An idiot.
But what was funny was eventually I explained to him because we would like go out for a while and he would piss me off and then I would call it off. I don't want to say we broke up because we weren't really a couple, but still, you know, we would break up and then every once in a while, like months would go by and then one of us would call the other one and then we start going out again, but he would always just piss me off.
Yeah.
Because he was one of those guys that didn't want to, you know, quotes, define our relationship. And so then I would just get irritated. So I figured, you know, one time when we were seeing each other again, I explained that to him. I said, you know, if I would have taken you, it would have been really fun and we would have had this great time and then I would have been stupid and confused and then I would have just been devastated when we came back and you acted like your normal self. And he even admitted, he's like, yeah, that was probably a good decision.
Well, here, okay. Just a couple of things on your Hawaii trip.
Okay.
First of all the things that happen to you are, you're not alone. That happens to everyone who goes and visits Hawaii.
Everyone gashes their arm.
Well, everyone tries to scramble over lava rocks to get to something beautiful, and then they end up injuring themselves. That's invariably. I mean, normally what happens is people scramble up lava rocks in Hawaii, and they get swept out to sea.
Oh, my God.
They end up getting overtaken by a giant wave or like a rogue wave or something like that, and then they're never seen again. And that happens quite often. But here's the thing. Usually the people that happens to are the people who don't read ahead before they go to, you know, a tropical volcanic island in the middle of the Pacific. So, I mean, it's all stuff that happens a lot. But it's, I mean, especially the sunburn.
Oh,
But if you look at, I mean, there are websites and things where you can find out. And I'm trying not to sound condescending. I'm trying not to Hawaii-splain. Because I hate that. But you know, they say, first of all, the tropical sun, because you're much, much closer to the equator. Yeah. You're about the same latitude as the Dominican Republic or Cuba, like the southern tip, like the southwesternmost tip of Cuba. That's about the same as being in the Hawaiian Islands. And and so you get sunburned very easily. Yeah. I mean, people get roasted very quickly in Hawaii. I mean, it's always funny. It was funny to me and entertaining. How entertaining? How bored was I that I was actually entertained by what I'm about to say? I would go to the grocery store every day or every other day. And sometimes I would go to the grocery store that a lot of tourists would go to just because it was the most convenient to my house. And I would go in there and you always knew that a new busload of tourists came by. Because they were all just like red as lobsters, like the red of my mouse right here.
Yeah.
I would see the backs of legs looking like that. And it was just, and that, I mean, really, in a serious sense, that's just skin cancer waiting to happen. That kind of sunburn.
We didn't get that.
But it sounds like your friend did.
Well, she dramatized it to sound like she did. I mean, we both got burns, but she never had to have plastic surgery. She was just being a drama queen.
Well, so if we ever went to Hawaii together, there'd be a few things in order. First of all, there'd be very little scrambling over lava rocks. While it's really easy to climb around lava rocks, I mean, more so than rocks that you would find on the mainland, like big boulders and stuff, because boulders here have been weathered by the rain and elements to the point where they're slippery. Mm-hmm. But with lava rocks, they're grippy, so you can walk. You can actually walk very easily on lava rocks with flip flops. I don't recommend it because they're also very sharp, and you can very easily cut yourself. I mean, I nearly took off the tip of my toe, my big toe, just walking down a path in Hawaii, and I was wearing flip flops like a fucking idiot, and I stubbed my toe on just a lava rock that was sticking out of the dirt. And just gashed, like, it nearly, it like ripped open the entire top of my big toe.
Oh, I've had that happen. I know how that feels.
It was really painful. Really quite bloody, too.
Yeah.
And you know, I got a few sunburns living there, but not, like, red sunburns. Just
well, you're also olive, so.
Yeah, yeah, so.
Your skin color is olive.
Right. But, I mean, there are just certain do's and don'ts when it comes to Hawaii. I wrote a piece in the Daily Banter, in fact, about things to do and not to do when you're in Hawaii.
Yeah, everything to go, Kimberly did.
Basically everything that you did. I assure you, like, well, for example, the best thing that you could have done on your first trip to Hawaii was to go to one of those kind of self-contained resort areas.
Yeah.
Where it's like, you're in Hawaii, you're near the beach, you're near things to do, but everything in the resort area is kind of self-contained Epcot Hawaii. Yeah.
Right.
Where there are swimming pools and safe beaches and your hotel room is right there and restaurants right there in the same compound. And that's usually the easiest way to start. And then as you're feeling more brave dealing with the elements, the sun, the potential for horrendous rainstorms, although not so much on the western islands, but certainly in Honolulu and Oahu, they get massive, massive rain there. So when you're prepared to deal with the elements and to deal with just being out in nature on a volcanic island, then that's when you start to proceed outwards to go exploring with random kids who say they know where there's a waterfall and who are
drunk
and who are so drunk they can't pronounce Mai Tai.
Muay Thai. I'll never forget that.
I think they were fucking with you. I don't think there was a real waterfall.
No, we could see
there.
It. We could see where whatever we were looking for, and honestly, I don't even remember what it was, but we saw it, and we just were trying to get over this little cliff thing in order to get there.
Yeah. Well, so, I mean, here's what I would recommend. If someone's going to Hawaii for the first time, and this, no one's asking me. I'm just randomly throwing this out here.
You're mansplaining.
I'm mansplaining. Actually, no, I'm just being more of a...
Yeah, no, I know. I'm just kidding.
Like, almost like a travel writer. If right. you were to ask me, like, where the best place to go in Hawaii is, where you're going to get the most... Hawaii-like experience. I would totally not recommend Waikiki, all the typical spots in Honolulu.
Yeah, I wasn't impressed with Maui.
Well, Maui can be very nice. Maui is where all the celebrities go now. Yeah. That's like Oprah owns territory there, like territory. She owns like a big property there. Who else owns land there? Mick Fleetwood. Mick Fleetwood not only owns land there, but he also has a restaurant there that you can go to called Fleetwood's on Maui. But I would recommend more than Maui or Oahu. Certainly, not, I would not recommend going to Oahu. You're rolling the dice with Oahu, and I'll tell you why. Because when it rains there, it rains for like nonstop, big old fat rain, like yeah. Forrest Gump says. Big old fat rain with like flash flooding for like a week straight. Wow. I mean, imagine saving up your entire life to go to Waikiki, like the spot that you think of when you think of Hawaii. And then it does nothing but rain with flash flooding. You can't, if it stops raining, you can't even go swimming, because what happens is all of that rain drains the rivers and canals out of the city areas into the main part of the ocean at the beaches. And what happens when all that garbage and shit rinses, like washes down into the ocean? Sharks.
Oh,
sharks are attracted to the filthy, murky water that comes out of. And right there in Waikiki, there's a canal called the Alawai Canal. And that is the you can't even swim in the Alawai because it's so polluted. And that drains to the Pacific Ocean. Remember, we last night, we just happened to turn on. We were just flipping through and we happened by that Sebastian Maniscalco stand-up special where he talks about being in the swimming pool with the Band-Aid.
Oh my God, that is the funniest thing.
And no matter where you go in the swimming pool, the Band-Aid somehow mysteriously follows you and you're freaking out and you're trying to splash it away from you and it never goes away. That was the case. I think I only swam in the ocean maybe two or three times at Waikiki, at very most, maybe twice. And one of those times, there was a disgusting used bloody Band-Aid floating in the water. There are so many places in Hawaii where you can... I think this Hawaii music's a little loud. There are so many places in Hawaii where you can go to pristine beaches, relatively close, relatively easy to access, with crystal clear water, where you can be in 30 feet of water and still see the bottom. You can still see the turtles swimming by below you. And but people don't know, so they go to Honolulu and they deal with the tourists and the crowds and the giant skyscrapers and the shitty Waikiki Beach, which is no longer the Elvis Waikiki Beach. It's right. now the shitty, touristy, dirty, Band-Aid strewn Waikiki Beach.
Band-Aid strewn.
And it's not just because I lived there for four. I think I lived on the Big Island for 4 years. And the Big Island is the best of all the islands. Mm-hmm. The Big Island has everything you could possibly want in the Hawaii experience. It's got the great beaches. It's got some resort areas that are pretty self-contained. It's got the volcanoes, the National Park Kilauea volcano. Mm-hmm. And it's also got rainforests. It's got snow. I mean, there's snow on the Big Island. Every possible climate that you could think of, minus, I think, one or two. I think it, like, every climate on Earth is represented on the Big Island, minus, like, two. I mean, there's a giant ranch, like a cattle ranch, where you go there, and it's almost like you're in the, like, in Wyoming or something. There's, like, a Wyoming part. There are parts of the Big Island that look like Ireland. And,
really?
And, yeah, and Scotland, and, like, green rolling hills. And it's really a breathtaking place to go. Provided you're not, again, following around a bunch of drunk kids.
Who's like, this goddamn waterfall. All you got to do is climb up this cliff face next to this rusty shack.
And we can go have Muay Thais.
Just make sure you got your tetanus inoculations.
Yeah, and I had to have one.
Oh, of course.
You know, and then it was funny because...
What happens there is when you get injured in a tropical environment like Hawaii... Very easy to get a staph infection.
Yes, of course.
Staph infections and
thank God I didn't get one.
Parasites and shit like that.
I remember when we when we got on the airplane, like, we were so happy to finally leave. Yeah. And like the trip, the Hawaiian vacation from hell. We get on the airplane, and all of a sudden on the plane, like, I don't know, we had only been in the air for maybe 15 minutes, and then this noise from the engine. It was, and we looked at each other, and we thought, oh my God. And it was funny because everybody, like, sitting around us had this look of fucking terror on their face. And so, you know, one of the, I don't know what they're, what do they call them now? They're not stewardesses.
Flight attendants.
Thank you. Yeah. Flight attendants. They're like, oh, it's nothing. And then, and obviously it was nothing. Our plane was fine.
Yeah.
But it was just, I don't know. I can't, it was like this horrendous noise as if the plane was just going to drop out of the sky and
that was the
ocean.
Yeah, you know, it wasn't, there was no noise at all. It was just the parasites in your head from the injury.
It was awful.
The tropical parasites.
Oh my God, it was, although we had,
worming their way into your brain, into your audio canals.
We
like
did
your
have fun
canal.
On, I think it was called Big Beach. I'm not sure if that's what it was called.
Yeah, I mean, I was on Maui once, and it was at the airport. So, yeah. I mean, I don't know anything about Maui.
Well, there was one beach that I believe it was called Big Beach, although I could be wrong. And it was really pretty. You know, we went there, and we didn't lay out or anything. And speaking of the sunburns, there was this man standing in the water, and he was just like this man with a bit, he was like a middle-aged big tummy man, and he was just red.
Yeah.
And he, you know, I thought, oh man, we were complaining. But
you know, here's something interesting that happens when you go to Hawaii. Once you're there a while, mm-hmm. you start to, the people start to refer to you as things that are very typical as Hawaii. There are a number of times when some kid would just call me uncle.
Interesting.
Yeah, because that's what they do. Like, if there's a, like an older person, if there's an older person,
older like you.
Yeah, yes, like me. and they talk to you. The kids are taught to refer to you as auntie or uncle.
Oh, how interesting! I didn't know that.
Yeah, so it was really, it was kind of cool. After a while, I felt like, oh, I've arrived. I'm uncle now.
Now you're Uncle Bob.
Yeah, yeah. And so that big fat guy that you encountered, he'd be uncle.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, Uncle Red.
The other thing about Hawaii is when you do, I don't know if he was a white guy or a Hawaiian or what.
He was white.
Yeah, he's white. And they refer to white guys as howlies because howly is the Hawaiian word for white.
Is it because they howl when they get sunburned?
Yeah, yeah, they're assholes. Like the tourists howl, when they try to climb up a cliff and then fall and hit their arm on a thing and cut themselves open. But I mean, I forgot where I was going with that, but yeah, the Hawaiian people, oh yeah, this is what I was going to say. The Hawaiian people are actually extraordinarily friendly.
Yeah.
So if you encounter a 500-pound Hawaiian guy with like tattoos all over and the shaved head and he's got the board shorts on, a
he's
pair
just
of flip-flops.
Like the big sweetie.
Yeah. Just, he looks like he might kill you. But when you talk to him, he's the biggest teddy bear in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's just the way the native Hawaiians are like. And I think that was one of the reasons how, not to turn this political, but that's how America was able to dupe the Hawaiians out of their islands. Because they're just accommodating. And
because they're just so friendly.
Yeah, they're just so friendly. It's like, oh, what's the big deal, brother? We'll just, we'll figure it out tomorrow.
That's it's kind of like the they say like the Mexican mañana, like relaxed attitude.
Yeah, yeah. So I mean, if we ever go to Hawaii, we're gonna go to the Big Island, and we're gonna stay at a resort called Waikoloa. Mm-hmm. There's a number of nice places to stay there, but in fact, the Marriott at Waikoloa is, you think, oh, it's a Marriott, but it's actually really, really nice. There's even a saltwater pool.
Mm-hmm. Wow,
it's kind of amazing. And then there's obviously a very nice regular swimming pool and all kinds of restaurants.
I warn
and
you.
Beaches.
Just talk to my mom about going on vacation with me.
We're going to put you in a bubble.
I'll just wear my like concrete hazmat suit.
Oh, that's just Kimberly. She's in a bubble.
Okay, so you mentioned politics. Let's do a couple political things, and then I have a bunch of just random, crazy, fun questions that we can go through.
Okay.
I got these questions from 101 questions that you can raise at a boring party. Mm-hmm. So I thought we could cover those, but. Last night before going to bed, I did see Louise Mensch,
mm-hmm.
tweeted out something from her. It was a Patriot blog or Patriot blog, whatever it's called. And then this morning I wake up and they covered the same thing in The Guardian. So basically the deal is the UK government was given details last December of allegedly extensive contacts between the Trump campaign and Moscow, according to the court paper. So reports by Christopher Steele, a former M16? Or MI6.
Yeah, okay. Christopher Steele's the guy who assembled the PP tape dossier.
Right, exactly. MI6 on possible collusion between the Trump camp and the Kremlin are at the center of political storm in the U.S. over Moscow's role in getting Donald Trump elected. So the deal is that I guess initially we learned that the government received this dossier, and then The Guardian reports that this dossier was also given to British intelligence. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, they're saying that, there's no smoking gun here or anything like that, but they're saying that this is happening, which means that Trump campaign was paying hackers who were taking orders from Putin.
Oh, God, yeah.
So, I mean, you know, and it's like, I know there's a lot of naysayers out there, whatever, but it...
Has anyone looked at the books of the Trump campaign? Has any of that come out?
Know.
Has any of that been released? I'm not sure exactly what the FEC regulations are, but I think you can get the financial reporting and all the expenditures made by the Trump campaign through the FEC,
but
because I
think
they have to report
all
that.
Lied?
Well, it's entirely possible they did it off the books, which would put it squarely in the same territory as Watergate, where they had this separate committee to reelect the president, CREEP, which is what it was called during Watergate, CREEP. And so CREEP had, it was just this gigantic slush fund for doing a bunch of shit off the books outside of the purview of the actual reelection campaign. Mm-hmm. So basically what you had is a side kind of, what we would refer to it as a super PAC now. Mm-hmm. But at the time, it was just this this committee that was put together to raise money for reelecting Nixon. And what it became is, as I said, just this giant slush fund for paying off operatives and doing these covert black operations, where they, you know, they bugged the Democratic headquarters famously, and they did all kinds of other things, dirty tricks through Segretti, and just like one thing after another. They they went after Democratic candidates. They did just all kinds of horrendous things using that kind of money. And I'm sure somewhere we're going to find a big supply of, or not a supply, but there's going to be a big a Trump financial slush fund. Mm-hmm. Somewhere that's doing all of these, making all of these payments. Now, I don't know if they're coming from the actual Trump campaign war chest or these payments, or if they're disguising, they're disguising them as something else, or what? I don't know exactly what that. I mean, because obviously there are some additional steps they need to figure out as far as proof here. But I mean, if they could get. Again, it's a matter of following the money, which is just like Watergate. Just follow the money. If they can find a check written from the Trump campaign to someone linked to Guccifer 2.0 or someone at WikiLeaks or whoever.
But I mean, do you really think they're writing checks? Don't you think they would just hand over cash?
Well, no, I don't think they would be writing. I'm not looking for like blank or canceled checks or anything like that. But I'm talking about financial transactions that would all be electronic by now, ACH deposits, and maybe even some online payments. Yeah. God, I'd check Bitcoin too, for fuck's sake.
Right.
I mean, we're talking about the dark internet right now, and so Bitcoin actually has some purchasing power in that realm too. So I think that's where the secret is. That's where the smoking gun is.
Well, let me ask you this, because I was talking to. Everybody knows that I write for Liberals Unite, and mm-hmm. although people might think his name is Samuel Ward, it's really Sam Wardy. So anyway, I was talking to Sam Wardy, and he thinks that Trump's undoing will be about the cover-up and not the actual proof of the smoking gun. What do you think about that?
Well, I think the cover-up is what we're discovering now, and that's going to be the most damaging thing. That's going to lead us to the smoking gun.
So do you think we're going to get the smoking gun?
It's the cover-up that always fucks people over.
Right.
I mean, that's what fucked over Richard Nixon, and it really erodes credibility, because what we're seeing now is we're seeing the Trump people just denying everything, denying that the story even exists.
And you showed me that graphic today about if it's proven that there is collusion, that I think like what was only 7% of GOP people would believe it mm-hmm. or care.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't, it's like, it's disturbing. Only 7%.
Oh, yeah,
if 7%. There was absolute proof.
7% would say it was a crisis. Okay. If they actually discovered that Trump colluded with Russia, if there was actual proof that this happened. And that's really disturbing, but it's perfectly in line with some of the other shit that we've seen out of pollsters recently, showing that Republicans far more, I mean, by a gigantic margin, Republicans will defend their team.
Isn't that interesting that they call themselves the Patriots?
Yeah, but they'll reverse positions based on whether their team is in charge.
Exactly.
When their team wasn't in charge, the things that Trump is doing now, but that which happened before, were bad when they happened under Obama. But now that certain things are happening under Trump, they're good. They're great.
That's so dangerous.
The actual view, the Republican view of the condition of the economy right now is far better than it was just 3 months ago.
Yeah.
Somehow now they think the economy is doing great, even though Trump's administration really hasn't had a chance to impact the economy at all. But that's
the
reversal.
Talk about lemmings.
Yeah, this intellectual dishonesty is what it is. It's a complete lack of consistency, but it's solely based on whether their team. It's basically, again, I keep making this comparison, but it's like the Republicans have a sports franchise view of their own party.
Yeah.
They will defend their party in the same way that a sports superfan will defend their team no matter what happens. That team can do something egregious and they will defend it, but if the other team does the exact same thing, they'll condemn it.
Yeah.
And that is where the Republican Party is right now. There are no more core values. It makes perfect sense that Donald Trump is the standard bearer for the Republicans at this point because he has no core values. He bends whichever way the wind is blowing. And that's exactly the way that Republican voters, whether they voted for Trump or not, that's exactly how they behave. They have no core values. They have no intellectual honesty.
They think they do, but they don't. And then on Friday, a Washington Post reporter claimed Trump requested that the paper run a photo of his winning electoral map for the first 100 days.
Oh, Jesus
Christ.
What an
asshole. He's like, I have the biggest dick. It's the biggest dick in the hole. I can't do it, the Trump.
Well, it's just like, but it's like he's such an amateur.
That's all he has.
He's such a novice that he's amazed by things that presidents shouldn't be amazed by. That's what's so amazing about it's amazing that he's
balls.
It's amazing that he's amazed by these things. And God, he doesn't understand that these are things that presidents have had and have done forever, since the beginning of the Republic. And it's like when he was talking about the phones. Like, the phones are really incredible. You can put in numbers and you can talk to people on the other end of the line. It's incredible, amazing technology with a telephone. Who would have known? A telephone? It's like...
you just push numbers and...
yeah, I mean, like little shit. Like he's like, you know how long it's been? What was he talking about the other day? You know how old the Antiquities Act is? 150 years old. That's way too old. And just like getting freaked out about shit that doesn't matter, inconsequential stuff, and then framing as it if it's something amazing or something terrible based on bullshit factors that he's just recently learned.
It's just so scary that such a large percentage of people who live in this country can justify him and everything else.
We've got boats. They're boats, and you can launch planes right off the top
armada.
Of the boats. Amazing thing. It's an armada. Very powerful, that I can tell you. It's just like, oh my God, yeah, aircraft carriers. Welcome to the club. Aircraft carriers have been around for like 100 fucking years. What about, what else was he amazed by? He's like, we can fire missiles from miles away. Fire missiles, hit the targets. It's an amazing thing. With these missiles, they fire, and it's incredible. It's like, Jesus Christ, where were you during the fucking Gulf War where we all sat and watched fucking cruise missiles, Tomahawk missiles being fired off? That was 1990, for fuck's sake.
Yeah.
1990, and here we are, 2017. It's like, oh my God, tomahawks. Oh, they're like, they don't look like tomahawks. I was kind of shocked to find that out. I thought they might be shaped like tomahawks. I did like the Indian.
You gotta laugh.
I did the Indian rain dance the other night because we were gonna fire off some tomahawk missiles. Very,
oh my God.
Very powerful. Believe me.
Believe me.
Jesus Christ. Read a fucking book. I had to say that again today. It was like, he was on Twitter because he was like, he was screaming about how he's accomplished all this shit and the fake news won't give him credit. He said, I signed 28 things, signed 28 legislative orders and executive orders, 28 of them. Well, congratulations. You were able to successfully write your name 28 times.
And then hold it up like a school book and show everybody.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, look at this. This is where the little boy was in love with the tree. And then he cut the tree down to make a canoe. Isn't that amazing? And he's showing the pictures. Oh, my God. See, now I completely bastardized the legacy of Shel Silverstein, author of The Giving Tree, by making it seem like Donald Trump reads The Giving Tree.
Oh, well.
He's like, no, Donald Trump, the most extensive literature that Donald Trump reads is like Mad Magazine.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
He's so depressing. So, okay, we got some political things out of the way. We
latest issue of Mad Magazine has a parody of the Twilight series. Unbelievably funny, funny stuff. Where do they get these ideas?
What did he say about the truck?
Honk, honk goes the truck. Honk, honk. Look. Honk, honk goes the truck. Holy shit. Tony Atamanik. Tony Atamanik's fucking Donald Trump impression is the funniest fucking thing I've seen in a long, long time. That clip,
how can you find? Do you have it on your Twitter feed?
It's everywhere. I put it on my Twitter feed. And on Facebook, I put the entire premiere episode. It's on every Thursday at 11:30 after the Daily Show. Every Thursday, it's called The President Show. And so this guy Tony Atamanik, who used to do this thing just online as Donald Trump, which was the first time I saw him, he was doing Donald Trump making origami.
That was funny.
And it's the fucking funniest Donald Trump impression I've ever seen.
He's really good.
Blows away. I mean, I love Alec Baldwin's Trump impression, but this is at a higher plane of existence as far as satire, as far as the funny quotient.
Well, the thing is he does the actual impression of Trump, whereas Baldwin does the overemphasized mouth. He does a good one.
Oh, well, so does Tony Atamanik. He just does it in a different way. He exaggerates Trump in a different way because he's got
I think he sounds more like Trump than Baldwin does.
Well, the Tony Atamanik Trump is more like, it's funny because we were watching that clip from a fucking awful Fallon clip, but it was Martin Short playing Jiminy Glick. And watching Jiminy Glick, that character, Tony Atamanik's Trump is just like Jiminy Glick. Not just like it, but it's very similar. Where he'll talk like this, and then he'll be like this. I don't know what to do. Here again, and I don't know. And so that's the Tony Atamanik impression. But that bit where it starts out, they're going to do a tour of his suite at Trump Tower, and it's a bit called Lap of Luxury. And they get to the front door, like the door of the whatever 86th floor of Trump Tower, and they go in. And it's locked. Melania has locked him out. So he can't do the Lap of Luxury. So they go back to the logo. They cross out Lap of Luxury and put in Trump's New York. And so they just go downstairs again and they wander around Manhattan. And so it's basically Tony Atamanik as Trump doing, like, talking to people in Manhattan. And ends up sitting on this stoop exhausted. And then suddenly hears a truck horn. He's like,
so
a
funny.
Truck, a truck. And he goes running up and he's doing the honk your horn gesture. And he's like, honk, honk goes the truck, honk, honk goes the truck. And he's acting like a little boy who's seeing a truck. And it's just fucking
hysterical. So worth it. Go to Bob's Facebook page or his Twitter and find it. It's
honk,
so
honk goes
funny.
The truck. Jesus Christ.
Okay, so now we're going to get into the fun part of the show, which is going to be questions. And I'm going to first we're going to start with questions. So I got the one from 101 different things you can bring it up at a boring party. But I also got some fun sex questions from some kind of website that offered them.
Oh boy.
So I'm going to add, I'm just a few, and then we'll just go into the more general questions that aren't necessarily about sex. But I think we'll do it this way. Like, I'll ask you, and then, you know, whether or not whoever goes first, we'll both give our answers to these.
Okay.
So, but I'll just say this, like, you know, prior to us meeting.
So these are all like personal questions.
Yeah. Well, I mean, not terribly personal. I won't ask you the one, do you peruse the internet for porn?
No, of course I don't. I hate porn.
But, you know, I just chose a few that I thought might be interesting. And some actually I know the answers to, but some I don't. So let's just start with this. When you were, you know, a single guy, Would there be any fetish deal breaker? So like you meet a woman and you like her and she's interesting and you want to go out with her. And then she tells you that she's got this fetish. And is there one that would just be like, oh, I can't do that. I can't.
And well, I mean, obviously, the obvious first answer that I think most people would give was anything involving poop.
Yeah. about pee?
Pee? No.
What if she wanted to pee on you?
No, I would not accept that.
Yeah, I couldn't do that.
I would not accept that. I mean, if there's pee that comes out inadvertently, which can sometimes happen, yeah, weirdly, depending on how you define that, as either pee or squirting.
Yeah.
Which they're pretty, in porn at least, they're pretty much interchangeable. But I mean, as something to do, like, okay, now we're going to pee on each other. Nah, right. Yeah. No, I don't.
I couldn't do that. And
don't need that.
I learned so much from Sex and the City.
Anything involving pain, too.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
I would have to go with anything that's like, okay, now I'm going to punch you in the face and stab you in the balls with this burning candle.
Yeah, I'm with you there, too.
No.
I mean, I would say the same thing. And but it was funny because, you know, when Sex and the City came out, I had absolutely no desire to watch that show. I just, for some reason, I got it into my head that it was some smarmy crap show. I didn't really realize what it was. And then I was talking to a friend of mine, and she said, oh my God, you've got to watch this. It's so funny. And this politician dude that Carrie goes out with.
John Flattery from Mad Men.
Yes. Yeah. Wants her to pee on him.
I said Flattery. I meant Slattery. Stupid like an idiot.
I didn't know his name at all. Anyway, so that was the first episode that I ever saw was this first season, you know, or the season 3 number 1 show. And that was it. I was hooked. But I saw and I didn't know there was a thing such that I didn't know there was squirting, that like there was that female squirting orgasm thing.
Oh yeah,
I didn't know that wasn't even a thing until that show, because Samantha went out with, you know, was like a lesbian for a while and went down on this woman. Oh my God. And they showed it. And like the woman just squirted in her face. And I was
like, that's really amazing that they were showing that on HBO.
I know.
I mean, and it's just like, I know that HBO is like the obscenity sex channel, but to actually see like a simulated squirt.
That was like, I was kind of horrified. Sitcom, basically. I was kind of horrified by that. Yeah. But then I talked
to her. And you didn't know that that happened.
I had no idea.
You had no idea until like 10 years ago that squirting was
No idea. And wow. then I started asking my friends about it, and I would say, have you ever heard of this? And you know, and pretty much everybody did. It's like, I don't know where the hell I was.
Yeah.
But then, you know, of course, some of the girlfriends that I had said, you know, yeah, that happens to me. One of them said that it happened to her so much, like she needed her towel would pretty much be drenched.
Oh my God.
Like, that's what I thought. Wow. That's
a lot. Sounds like they're peeing a little. In that case,
I don't know what it is.
Well, there's a whole debate about the squirting, yeah, right? There's there's a school of thought that says it's basically just,
well,
you know,
I would want to ask a woman,
urine leakage. Or
I would
something
want
like
to
that
ask a woman who actually does it, because I have a feeling that it isn't urine, but I don't know.
Oh, I don't think it is. I think there's a genuine female ejaculation, but a lot of times it's just pee.
Yeah.
It's just pee. So it kind of looks the same, so it can kind of get confused. But the squirting that you see in porn is definitely peeing. Because there's just, I mean, they label it as squirting, but it's like, there's no way someone's squirting that much.
Yeah, here, drink this gallon of Gatorade before you do your scene.
Yeah, but then, oh God, but then they drink it.
That's disgusting. Let's change this up. Next question. Okay. How old were you when you had your first kiss? Now, okay, we'll go with kiss, like peck kiss when you're a kid, and then tongue kiss.
Oh, real tongue kiss.
Well, your first kiss ever, no matter how old you are, it doesn't have to be the tongue kiss, and then your first French kiss.
Okay, so the first real kiss, not involving tongue, would have been, I guess I was in sixth grade. I was 11. Possibly, I don't know what.
A peck.
Yeah, however old I was. No, it was a kiss on the lips. It was a kiss on the lips.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. And it was, it was like my first kind of, we're going out now kind of
and
girlfriend.
You were 12.
Even though we're not, yeah. I mean, even though we didn't go out or do anything,
You were going around.
Like that. Yeah, we were going around. Right, right. We were boyfriend, girlfriend in the purview
like
of
you and me, we're boyfriend, girlfriend.
Yeah, exactly. But it was of course, the kid version of that, the sixth grade version of that. And that was, my first, kissed with a girlfriend that was more than just a childhood peck on the cheek or whatever. And then there was, I think my first tongue kiss was maybe ninth grade. I think it was in ninth grade. Yeah. Yeah. It was definitely ninth grade. Although it might have been because we'd go to dances and just make out. But yeah. I don't know if that started until I think that was like late. Oh, no, I take that back. I take that back significantly. It wasn't ninth grade. It was pre ninth grade. It was the summer between eighth grade and ninth grade. Hmm. It was at Ocean City, Maryland. It was Ocean City, Maryland with an older woman.
How old?
Well, I was, I guess in eighth grade, I was 14 maybe. No, what? How old was
I? Seventh grade, 13.
I was 13.
Well, if it was eighth grade going into ninth, you would turn 14 that summer.
Yeah. So I, at the time I was 13.
Okay.
And I guess she was maybe 16 or 17, but she seemed old. Like she seemed like an older woman. It was at Ocean City. I still remember who I was with. I had a blast that weekend because I was with a friend of mine and my parents and my family weren't there. So it was like, It was like the closest I had to spring break up to that point. It was like a spring break, like an eighth grade version of spring break weekend in Ocean City, Maryland. Yeah. And I ended up drinking Bartles and James at some high school aged party. And I ended up making out with some girl there.
Well, my first, I think it was a lip kiss, but no tongue, was literally in nursery school with Jeffrey Groton.
Wow.
And so
you remember the name.
You're
so much better about names than I am.
I know, but the reason I think I remember his name was because he was the boy that everyone had a crush on in nursery school.
Literally nursery school. Yeah. Like in nursery school, you're like four. How are people having crushes at
four? Well, we did,
four?
And I remember the girls would literally line up to kiss him. And I was so jealous because Jeffrey liked Eunice, and Eunice was this cute little Asian girl, and he had a crush on her, and he wouldn't kiss anyone unless he could kiss Eunice, and I was so jealous. That's, I was so angry. It was like
Eunice.
Anyway, so, and then my first French kiss was actually with a guy who hit on a boyfriend of mine later after the kiss, but I was 15, and his name was Sean. And I was 15, and it was summertime or like maybe springtime. And my best friend and I were hanging out with this guy, Sean, and another guy, Eddie, and I don't know who else. And we were drinking 151 proof vodka. And,
God.
Yeah. And so I was pretty drunk, but some of the kids were more drunk than I was. And I remember somehow we got into the backseat of my friend's mother's car. And so I was in the backseat with Sean. And the song Murder by Numbers was playing on the radio. We weren't driving. We were just sitting in the car. And the next thing I knew, Sean's tongue was in my mouth.
Oh, my God.
And I
just
thought,
like, just leapt across the
I was kind of drunk. And, like, all of a sudden, I just noticed. Boom. And I thought to myself, I'm French kissing now. And,
wow.
And so now every time I hear the song, it makes me think of Sean. So those were mine. Okay. I love this song. It's such an awesome song. Okay, so here's one.
Okay.
Would you pose nude for Playboy if they offered you $1 million?
Yes. Obviously. It would be fiscally irresponsible to say no to that.
I would say yes too.
I totally would.
I would be like, are you airbrushing?
Well, did you say Playboy or Playgirl?
Because would be Playgirl.
Playgirl. Yeah. Well, of course.
You know who it would? You remember
$1 million? Yeah.
There was that picture of Burt Reynolds when he was like lying on the bearskin rug or something when he was naked.
Badass Burt Reynolds.
You could do that.
Turd
kind of
Ferguson.
A pose. Yeah, Turd Ferguson. Freaking love him. Okay, so we would both do it. So there you go.
Yeah.
Okay. Now I know the answer.
I would do it for half of that money. I would do it for $500,000.
Yeah, me too. But I want $1 million.
Okay.
yeah. So I already know this, but
you can negotiate for me then.
Okay, I will. Maybe I'll flash them.
You shouldn't go to a negotiation and say, hey, you know what? I'll pose nude for half the money that you're offering me.
Yeah, you shouldn't say that. We shouldn't say that because you never know. Playgirl might be ringing you up. You know, because they want to do political bloggers.
Oh,
the
yes,
political
that's right.
blogger series.
Podcasters. They're going to do a whole nude podcaster series. It'd be like me and Drift Glass. That'll be entertaining.
I love this. I love this question. Have you ever picked up someone from a singles bar? I just love how it's called a singles bar. Like, it's not just a bar. But have you ever, like, gone to a bar and picked someone up?
Well, I yes, but never a singles bar. I don't think I've ever even been in a singles bar.
I don't even know what a singles bar is. I guess they're all singles bars, well, aren't they?
Considering that the last time I was legitimately single, it was 1996, and just the first little couple of months of 1996. So legitimately, it's like the last time I was really single was 1995. And I used to go to a lot of like rock and roll clubs, and believe it or not, there are quite a few rock and roll clubs in Berks County, Pennsylvania. And I used to do that as a job. I'd have to go around there Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night. I'd have to go to all these bars to review local bands for the local newspaper there, the Reading Eagle. Mm-hmm. And so I would end up in lots of bars, obviously. And there were a couple of hookups in that process, but never in a singles bar. I wouldn't even know where to find a single. I guess I would look Yelp or something like that and find a singles
Yelp.
Bar. Well, Yelp didn't exist in 1995.
So when you say you picked someone up, what do you mean? Like, did you take them home and have sex with them? Or did you pick them up by getting their phone number so you could call and ask them out?
That's usually what would happen.
Okay.
I don't think there was ever a time when I met someone at a bar and we had sex. That's not my style necessarily. So it was usually like, let me get your phone number, I'll give you a call. And then we would get together, and it was either, most of the time, well, not most of the time, every time, every hookup from that era was just a, like, nothing. It just turned out to be a big nothing. Although I ended up hooking up with a woman who was 4'10".
And you're 6'4".
I'm 6'4". That was an interesting sight. I was looking like this goddamn Sasquatch.
See, if I would have seen you walking with her, I would have been like, God damn it. Because like, I'm 6 feet tall. I'm like, what the fuck?
Look at that. The circus is in town. Jesus Christ.
I have never picked up a man in a bar, I don't think. But obviously,
it's like,
I have been picked up.
I mean, I'm not a pickup guy. It's like either the conversation happens organically. Like I just happen to be sitting there and we bump into each other and there's an organic, coincidental form of conversation. I never go up to someone and say, hey, baby, what's it? But hang out here often or whatever the fuck they say in singles bars. I don't even use those pickup lines. I memorize zero pickup lines because it's like, if that's what you have to do, I don't want any part of it.
I remember I was at the Derby, which if anybody's seen the movie,
The Derby.
I was at the, if anybody has seen the movie Swingers.
Yeah, no one's seen that movie.
With Vince Vaughn. at the end of the film, they're at Swingers. And that's where Heather, I can't think of her name. The Boogie Nights Heather?
Heather Graham. Well,
Heather Graham.
Yeah.
So Heather Graham meets Mike and they dance and everything. So that's at the Derby. I lived at the Derby. Anyway.
You literally lived there.
Practically.
They had a cot in the back.
I'm trying to, I completely lost my train of thought. What was I
going
to say?
You were going
to
the Derby and we were talking about singles bars.
Oh, I know. Okay. So anyway, I think I was actually there with my mother on this particular occasion because they always had like really good swing bands and great music. It was a great bar. But anyway, so I was there one day and some guy came up and he was just a soft little marshmallow guy. He was boring and dull, but and I mean that in his approach.
Yeah.
Nothing about him was interesting, but I had a couple drinks in me, so I was I'm either really friendly or incredibly sarcastic in a bar if I have a couple drinks in me. So at this particular time, I was feeling friendly, and he was talking to me, and you know, I don't know. I guess he wasn't bad looking. He really wasn't my type, but he was okay. And he asked me for my phone number, so I gave it to him, and he called me. And so when he called me, I wasn't feeling great. I think I was kind of feeling like as if I was getting a cold or something like that. So he asked me out, and he kept letting me know that he wasn't rich.
Yeah.
And he just really wanted me to know that he couldn't spend a lot of money on our date. So fine, whatever. I'm not going to judge someone because they don't have a lot of money. And so I told him, well, I don't really feel very good, so I don't want to do anything too, you know, physical or anything like that, you know. So what does he suggest? A hike.
A hike.
I'm like, bye.
So there's
you can't even fucking figure out. I'm telling you, I don't have a lot of energy. And I'm specifically saying I don't want to do anything that, you know, is going to be us walking too much. And you suggest a hike, you stupid fucking idiot.
Yeah, at least he didn't have you climbing over lava rocks to get to Muay Thai.
Yeah, I know, really. Well, that I mean, I've gone out with guys that I've met in bars before.
Yeah.
Although I guess there was one guy, I can't necessarily say I picked him up, but you know about this one. This is the big, and I won't say his name. But some guy that I really liked for a long time in my life, I met him at a bar. And I couldn't, like, I saw him and I thought he was cute or whatever, or attractive. And I couldn't bring myself to go over to him. So my mom and I were at that. My mom was always going out to me with bars. I can't speak. Anyway, she was there and our mutual friend Steve.
So you bring
it. There.
Wait. So you're bringing your mom to bars?
Well, no. Maybe she brought me.
Oh, okay.
But my mom was hip.
But you're going to like bars with your mom?
With my mom. Occasionally I would, yeah. And at the time, I actually had this weird, like, I have to go. There's this really cool bar in LA called the Cat and Fiddle. Mm-hmm. And I just, for some reason, I had it in my mind that I wanted to go. And I couldn't get any of my friends to go. Like, nobody was available. So my mom's like, well, I'll just go. And our friend Steve was visiting. So Steve went. And we're sitting there on this bench. And it's like this outside courtyard. It's the coolest little bar. And so I see this guy across, you know, the courtyard. And I'm like, oh, my God. And I wouldn't go up to him. And so Steve went up to him. And he's like, hey, my friend really likes you. And so this guy said, you know, we'll send her over. So I did I pick up him? Did he pick up me? No. I mean, yeah. We met there. I've met people.
Here's the interesting part, because I've heard this story before. Yes. And here's the fascinating part of this story for me. And it's something that I was kind of surprised to hear. At it is that this guy that you're talking about was dressed like a pirate. He had like a bandana on his head, you know, like the, it's almost like motorcycle, like biker guys wear the, like the bandana thing on their head.
But he wasn't a motorcycle
guy. And I used to wear that occasionally when I had really long hair and I just needed to keep it out of my fucking face.
Well, this was 1993.
So, and then on top of that, then so that's, okay, that's fine. But he was also wearing it with a white kind of Renaissance fair puffy shirt.
Yeah, not too puffy, but yeah.
But it was like a puffy shirt. It was like the Seinfeld puffy shirt. Yes. It was like the, like something that you would see.
It didn't have the, like the gathering in the arm, but it was still kind of puffy.
Right.
And so, I mean, he had glasses.
Did you not think that this guy was like, he just came from the Renaissance fair?
No,
like,
because you know what?
Why is he wearing a puffy shirt and a bandana?
He had the look of the time that I liked because,
you were into the puffy shirt. You're into the pirate look.
Well,
like some guy walks up to you and just says, "Avast," and you're like, your panties fly off.
Totally. It still happens.
There goes my panties.
No, but, you know, John Corbett was in Northern Exposure, and he was always sporting the bandana with the glasses.
Yeah.
And I had a huge crush on him at the time. And then I also had a huge crush on Campbell Scott at the time, who was also the glasses guy.
Oh, and a big fan of the puffy shirt.
I
don't know if you know that about Campbell Scott.
Oh, I didn't know that. So this guy was kind of a combination of the two.
Yeah.
And he was also 6'6". So he could kind of pull
it
off.
Jesus Christ. That is, do you think, now, did he pull it off at 6'6"? I mean, did he, like, six? Because to me, 6'6 is always like, that's the threshold for looking awkward tall.
Yeah, he didn't look awkward tall.
Okay.
He pulled it off. And you know, I mean, anything above that, yeah, it is like, wow. But maybe he was like 6'5.5".
Yeah,
but I mean, he was pretty tall, and he was very masculine looking. So therefore, you know, wearing a shirt like this, it kind of balanced out. And
see,
he
now
could get away with it.
And this is not just me like ranking on the ex-boyfriend, but this is one thing that I'll observe here on the show is that beyond the puffy shirt and the bandana, the pirate look, the masculine thing. I get where he's like, he's a guy. He looks, looks like a man.
Right.
But I don't see how he was particularly masculine. Like when I think masculine men, like really rugged masculine men, I think of like Tom Selleck and guys are like, they've got like the chiseled look and the lines in their face and they've got the like sometimes they have a giant, like Sam Elliott, like Sam Elliott is the big badass mustache. And he's just like, and when I see pictures of your ex, of this guy, I think Tom Cotton. He looks like Tom. I mean, that I think he's in that just to give people sort of a celebrity who he most resembles kind of picture in their head.
Yeah.
I would say like Tom Cotton. Kind of, but yeah. If Tom Cotton was 10 years older.
But he had, I mean, look, there were angles in pictures where he looks good and then angles in pictures where he looks like Tom Cotton. So,
and what was your nickname for him? Just so we can clarify that.
Did I have one?
Yeah, Pat, you called him Pappy.
Oh, God, I hope he's not listening.
I'm not making that up.
I forgot because there are pictures where he looks like a Pappy. I fucking hope he's not listening to this.
Well, we haven't said his name or anything like that.
I know, but still, he would know that I wouldn't want him to know that I called him Pappy.
What's he gonna do?
But he, you know, he looked like, I'd ask my mom, you know, I'm like, what do you think of him? Do you think he's cute? And she's like, yeah, I think he's a nice looking guy. So, I mean, he wasn't traditionally like model handsome, and I'm not saying this just to kiss your ass, but like, you're a really handsome man. You're a handsome man no matter what. I think his type was...
Well, it's pirate shirts.
I know. You and all your pirate shirts. But, you know, it's like, someone's going to look at you and go, Bob Seska is handsome. Someone's going to look at him and it's kind of like, well, some like his type and others don't. It just depends on, like, some of my girlfriends didn't understand what I saw in him. But you know what? It's all better than my very first boyfriend who they used to call us Beauty and the Beast. He was one of the ugliest people in the whole world, but I loved him.
There's a fascinating observation that you made about this guy. And we're still talking about the pirate.
Yeah.
And you said that
Pappy the pirate.
you insisted that you could smell the testosterone.
Yeah. Well, that's what I just thought it was.
Yeah. I mean, that sounds like he's not washing his nuts.
No. He didn't smell dirty. It was, and it wasn't even his nuts. It was
musky.
Just,
musky. There can was also there was be like a form of dirty.
But he would take a shower, and you could smell the soap. But then there was just this strong male scent. It was certainly not something you'd ever smell on a woman.
Did you actually observe him fully washing his body with the soap, or was it just like...
Well, no, but I could smell the soap.
Yeah.
So you could clearly smell that he used soap.
What was this testosterone
odor? It's hard
odor?
To describe because it's not... It wasn't... You know, I don't want to say that it was a bad smell. It wasn't like a stinky smell.
What does it smell like the most? What is the
I don't
closest
know how to...
Smell?
I mean, it certainly isn't like underarm smell or anything like that. It just... I guess musky would be the closest thing, but it's not musky like dirty.
But was it like his... Like he would put on like an aftershave lotion?
No. It was basically just coming from him because I would notice because he would literally get out of the shower and I could... Like if I hugged him or something, I could smell that he was all fresh and everything, but still underneath that was just his masculine man odor, whatever that was.
I've never heard of that before. I don't know what that is. Are you sure it's like he didn't eat just like a bunch of spicy food?
No, because he always smelled that way.
Okay.
I don't
I don't know exactly. So it was Tom Cotton with like the masculine stinky odor.
I hope he's not listening. I doubt he is, but I hope he isn't. Anyway, okay, so let's see. Here's one. And I'm going to give my answer too if you don't have one prepared.
Okay.
And you have to think about yours.
Okay.
But of course, it's just in the moment because obviously this could change depending on your mood. Which of the three people of the same sex you consider the most attractive? So let's just go with famous people. So we all have a
three people of the same sex that I think is attractive.
Hmm. Yeah, the most attractive men.
Most attractive men.
I know one of them that you would say.
Who
the Superman guy.
Henry Cavill.
Yeah.
Henry Cavill's like a man crush, I would say. Let's go with Henry Cavill, George Clooney. You know, there are quite a few men who I'm jealous of.
Like, who else?
I'm jealous of certain things about their looks or their physiques or something like that. I'm trying to think of someone who who everyone would know, because there are some that I'm not necessarily that I'm attracted to, but that I'm certainly jealous of, that I would aspire to, in certain ways. Yeah. But, let's say, God damn it. I'm just completely drawing a blank. Who's another one? Shit. Well, name yours and I'll see if I can come up with a third.
Obviously it doesn't mean I'm attracted to them, but, I think, Diane Lane is probably my
name. Diane Lane,
I love
yeah.
her. I yeah. just love her so much. Mm-hmm. And then, I mean, as far as there's plenty of women that I could name who I think are sexy women, but if I was going to go for some top sexy women, I would say Kim Basinger. And
oh, really? Kim Basinger? I didn't know that.
I think she's sexy. I think she's like the definition.
I had
of
no
sexy
idea
woman.
That you felt that way about Kim Basinger. And
really?
we just watched Batman 1989. Yeah.
Oh, I think she's totally a sexy woman. And Scarlett Johansson is very sexy. I think she's sexier than beautiful, although I do think she's beautiful, but I think that she's just oozes sexuality.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, there's like, again, I also think Selma Hayek is really sexy. But
Selma
that's
Hayek, huh? Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
I think she's pretty and sexy, and I love that she can't stand Trump, and I love the way she speaks. I love her accent. I love her voice. I think she's awesome.
Wow. Okay. You know, I don't know. I'm struggling for my third one here, but you know, for just for lack of a better answer, I'm going to go with former Speaker of the House Tip O'Neill. No, I'm kidding. Of course. let's. I have no idea.
Just don't say Vince Vaughn.
Let's go with John Hamm.
Really?
Maybe John Hamm.
I like him.
Yeah.
I like John
You know, John Hamm is actually 2 months younger than me.
Really?
He's born the same year, born 1971, but he's 2 months younger than me. Huh. Just one of these guys who looks much older than he is. Yeah. I would say, like, I think John Hamm looks like 10 years older than he actually is. So that, yeah.
I
so
guess
I would
he's
say,
never going to be a guest on your show.
Yeah. But like fucking, you talk about a guy like Henry Cavill, who played Superman. He was also in Man from U.N.C.L.E., that movie, and a bunch of other things. But that's a guy who, you know, is, I'm so jealous of that guy. He's just like, he's like that guy who, you know, in fact, Chez used to have a man crush on an actor named Matt Bomer. Who is in the same category. I think he is in the same category as Henry Cavill, because they basically could switch roles and no one would be able to tell the difference, basically. But yeah, so I would go with those three. Hmm. I think that's a pretty solid choice. If I think of a third one, I'll blurt it out somewhere in the proceedings here.
So then what about, would you say, what would your top three female celebrity crushes be?
Oh, God. Yeah. You know, we just talked about this.
I asked you that last night.
Well, God damn it. Let me see. I'm trying to remember who I picked.
Well, I'll tell you mine. Then,
okay, let's go with yours. Yeah.
Number one of all time would be Liam Neeson.
Not anymore.
Yeah. But I had the biggest crush on him forever. And I remember I saw him. I think what started that crush was a movie. God, it must have come out in the late 80s called The Good Mother with Diane Keaton. Mm-hmm. And I saw him in that once. And then I think it was the second time that I saw it, I lost my fucking mind for him. Yeah. And nobody knew who he was at that point. He wasn't famous and, you know, he had just done a couple of smaller films. And I was running around talking about Liam Neeson and nobody knew who I was talking about. And then, of course, he became a big star. And obviously John Corbett at the time, not anymore, was one.
You know, Liam Neeson might be on my guy list.
Really?
Somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. If I really
just,
think
I love
about
Liam
it.
Neeson. And John Corbett, I actually saw John Corbett on two separate occasions in Los Angeles. And it was weird because, well, first of all, I was so starstruck by him when I saw him that it didn't even matter because I was at the Derby and he was wearing a purple crushed velvet suit with a bunch of necklaces and he looked ridiculous. And I didn't care though. I was like, oh my God, it's John Corbett. Because I think he was on, I think that Northern Exposure was still on and I was a big fan of that show and a big fan of him. And it was funny because both times that I saw him in person, I saw him once at the Derby and then once later, a couple of months later in Santa Monica. And both times he kind of stared at me for a few minutes but nothing. Like he never approached me. In fact, when we were at the Derby, he was just staring at me and then he left. And I was so disappointed because I was like, But, you know, there was that. So there was John Cooper. And then the other one that I mentioned earlier, Campbell Scott. I was just so in love with him.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I just thought of one that I listed for you the other night. And this is more of a I'm jealous of this guy kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But Joe Manganiello from True Blood. That guy. And he's about to be in the next, like, the next Batman. He's going to be the villain.
Dancer dude, which I just don't.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He was in Magic Mike, too.
I
did.
We watched Magic Mike, and I have to say, I wasn't that impressed. Although, Matthew McConaughey is hysterical.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Steven Soderbergh, he did a nice job telling the story, but it was completely miscast as far as the lead role. I think Channing Tatum's a
boring.
Channing Tatum's a total cardboard cutout. Yeah. He's a big nobody. I don't know what people see in that guy. What directors like? I mean, Soderbergh, for fuck's sake. Channing Tatum walks in the room and Soderbergh goes, "Yeah, you. I want you."
Yeah.
I mean, I just don't get that. I realized that Magic Mike was kind of the brainchild of Channing Tatum. Like, he used to be a dancer and all that shit. But Jesus fucking Christ, why are these, like, A-list directors going with this big fucking nobody? This fucking empty vessel. I don't understand the Channing Tatum thing.
I don't even.
But
he's never been my. But so three of yours, three of your ladies.
Well, okay. I think the first. I have to agree with you about Diane Lane. Mm-hmm. That's an obvious one, and it helps that she's been in the first couple of Batman movies, the Batman Superman movies. God damn it! Now, like, I'm completely blanking now that the heat is on. Oh shit! I just came up with one. Did I? Oh,
yeah. How can fuck. Well, okay. Let me think. I know that.
I see that. This here, is my adult
Sherilyn
brain.
Fenn.
Sherilyn Fenn. Yeah, well, at the time, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I would say that she was, like, in 1991.
What about Heather Graham?
She was on. Heather Graham. Definitely Heather Graham. Absolutely Heather Graham.
Well,
I would say
blondes.
Cate Blanchett. I would say, the other one I mentioned to you the other day was Allison Janney in a strange way. Definitely Allison Janney would be on my list. Hmm. Jennifer Lawrence certainly is in there.
Yeah, she's cute. I like her.
And she's got that kind of girl next door look to her. I could start listing all afternoon and it wouldn't, you know,
right.
Wouldn't get closer to like a top three. It's really difficult to come up with those.
Exactly. Well, I would say three. I could easily say Liam was one of my biggest crushes. I also had a
Liam
huge
Neeson.
Crush. Yeah. I had a huge crush on Peter Coyote for a while.
Yeah.
And what was really funny about that, I mean, I lived in Los Angeles, so celebrities.
Oh, Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah, that, I said her too.
I'm able to remember them off a list.
I think Scarlett Johansson is really sexy. I mean, I think she's pretty, don't get me wrong. Yeah. But more than anything, she like oozes sex.
Yeah, I mean, this is really getting into, I mean, maybe this is something that I shouldn't even talk about on the show. But I mean, just to be perfectly honest about where I am in my life. I mean, I've spent since 1997 in continuous relationships, basically. Mm-hmm. So I have been in a couple in some form or another for the last 20 years. So it's when you're in that situation, you don't often, because it's could be bad news depending on who you're like with you. We can be honest about that. Like, we're in a relationship. We can talk about all this stuff and neither of us gets butthurt about it.
Yeah.
But in previous relationships, and I'm not going to name names here, but in one or two previous relationships, this is not something that you talk about.
Yeah.
Because the jealousy arises and the questioning and then the resentment and all that comes up. So to be perfectly honest with you, it's not something that I felt at liberty to spend a lot of time thinking about. So therefore, when it comes to making my list of women like celebrities who I have crushes on, I really have to go back to the list and think about it because it's not something that revolves in my head out of
and
habit.
And I'm like the opposite of you because you're my first legitimate longish term relationship. I had a boyfriend in high school and he was my boyfriend. He wanted to call himself my boyfriend and, you know, we were together. And that was when I was 18 and we were together for 9 months and then that was that. And then after that, there were certainly guys that I went out with and they either wanted to be my boyfriend and I wasn't interested or vice versa, where I wanted them to be my boyfriend and they didn't want that. So there were, I was in relationships with some people, you know, but not committed, long-term ones until you. So, there were plenty of, you know, crushes. Oh, another huge crush I had was Vincent D'Onofrio. I was so in love with him.
That's so unusual. I've never heard anybody say, hey, that Vincent D'Onofrio. Oh,
I was so in love with him that I wanted to write a screenplay starring him that would be so good that it, maybe I could meet him.
Vincent D'Onofrio, who's currently turning into Brian Dennehy.
I know. But, he was in a very good movie. We saw it. I don't know if you're going to remember it, but it was called The Whole Wide World. And it was with Renee Zellweger.
Oh,
and
right.
He played the guy who wrote Conan the Barbarian.
Oh, right.
He is called, The Whole Wide World. And it was, that's where I fell in love with him. I just loved him in that movie. I loved that movie. And I don't know. It was just something about the way he looked. I mean, actually, I'll tell my Vince Vaughn story because.
What a dick.
Because normally I
fucking hate that guy.
I don't go around talking shit, but I've been doing it this week because I was talking shit about Scott Baio on my Facebook page. And I think as an actor, even though I never acted with, Vince Vaughn or anything. I think it's kind of bad form to talk shit, but fuck him. He's an asshole. And he voted for Trump. So back in the day when I was at the Derby, because I was there all the time, at least like once a week, I would go with my girlfriend. And so before he was famous, Vince and actually it was while they were filming Swingers. I didn't know they were filming it. But Vince and whatever the guy's name is who made Swingers, whose name is escaping me, were there all the time, and I would see Vince because he's tall. He's a tall drink of water, and so he'd be walking around.
But he's head tall. He's tall because he's got a gigantic fucking noggin.
Yeah, he's really only 4 feet.
And it's not
his body's only 4 feet tall.
That's exactly right. It's 4 feet. The other 2.5 feet are just head. And it's not that he's got a big head. It's just got a long head.
But he's tall and lanky. He was a long, lanky guy, and he had the look of the moment because back in when Swingers in Los Angeles, when Swingers was being shot, which was probably like around, I don't know, 94, 95 time. There was this whole swing dancing crowd and it was kind of rockabilly swing dance. And I was always going to all these clubs. And so I would see, and I think I even saw Vince in a couple of the other ones. And it's funny because the movie Swingers is just like my life. Only the guy version. I was friends with a girl named Renee, and we did all those things. In fact, there's a party in Swingers that it was like a party at a Hollywood house. And of course, I didn't go to that party, but I mean, I went to that party a million times. But anyway, so before Vince was famous, he'd be strutting around the Derby, and I would see him and getting, like, oh my God, oh my God. And my girlfriend just got so sick and tired of me, like, curling my toes over this guy and never doing anything about it.
Did he dress like a pirate?
No, okay. He was wearing a suit. He dressed like he did in Swingers.
Oh, right.
And, I mean, that's exactly that they were filming it then.
Yeah.
So, my girlfriend calls him over. She's like, hey, Vince, come here. So he swaggers over to us and he just looks bored. Mm. And so she's trying to get us together. So she'd say, hey, Vince, what do you do for a living? I'm an actor. Oh my God, what a coincidence. So is Kimberly. And then she would do, she was trying to push us together. So finally, and I'm not even making this up, I've got my back to the bar now. I'm sitting at the bar, but we turn around and we're facing him. So he gets real close. He puts his hands on the bar on either side of me and he puts his face right up to mine and he goes, oh, I get it. You like me. And then he walks away. What a fucking dick.
Oh my God.
It's like I had a huge crush on this asshole until that moment. And then when he walked away, I mean, I was stunned. I couldn't believe that somebody would just be so rude.
Yeah.
And
he's a dick.
And then, so time goes by and Swingers came out. I didn't see it in the theater. And so my girlfriend calls me up. She's like, oh, you got to see this movie called Swingers. So it's on tape now, on videotape. So I go and I rent it and I'm watching it and I'm like, hey, that's Vince. And then I'm getting pissed because I liked the movie. And I thought, he's going to be a fucking star now. Just watch. And like literally the next day, I see on Entertainment Tonight or something that Vince Vaughn's going to be in the next Steven Spielberg.
He was in Jurassic Park 2.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was so pissed.
Jesus Christ.
Okay, let's see. A couple more.
By the way, I thought of a few more here. Famke, you know who I had a major crush on is Famke Janssen, but I think everyone
Who's
had a
that?
Major crush. She was in, she's been in a few things, network dramas and things like that recently. But the when I had a crush on her, she was in an episode of Star Trek: The Next Generation.
Oh, okay.
And she played this character who was kind of she was about to be in an arranged marriage with some other alien species or some horrendous, like, doughy looking ugly little alien guy. And she ended up coming out of this. This is also sounds like such a nerd thing, but she ended up coming out of her preservative stasis too early. Mm-hmm. And she instead of imprinting on the person she was supposed to marry, she imprinted on Patrick Stewart, on Picard. Mm. And so she was at least, I don't know if she was pretending or for real, but anyway, so she was in this episode playing this alien, and she was really hot in this one episode of Star Trek: The Next Generation, like 1990 or something like that. But I would also say Emily Blunt and
yeah, I love Emily Blunt
and Cersei Lannister from Game of Thrones, Lena Headey.
I don't know who that is.
Well, when you see Lena Headey, you'll get it.
Yeah,
you'll get it.
All right, a couple more. Let's see. Okay, what if you because here's the question is this, and I'm not asking you this question.
Okay.
Have you ever been part of a sex orgy? So.
And you're not asking me this question.
I mean, you can answer it if you want.
Well, no.
Okay. Neither have I.
No.
But what would you have done? Like because I always used to have this. What if you were like in Hollywood or somewhere in LA and you're driving around and you wind up at this party and it's like an orgy party, or it's one of those parties where everybody's naked and they're all laying around having, like, would you want to walk around and look, or would you just bolt?
I would, it depends on if I was single, I would certainly hang out and look. And if I was asked to participate, I wouldn't immediately say no.
Well, I wouldn't want to participate because who the hell knows what they've got?
Yeah, well, that's true.
That's what I would be worried
about.
Yeah,
you just have to, it's just like an ocean of disease.
And also, I'm not the kind of...
Hey, look at this orgy! Hey, and I'm thinking, it's like a bunch of naked people all writhing around having sex, and I'm thinking, wow, look, it's an ocean of disease.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean...
I don't know about that,
Because there's the idea of an orgy, which is everybody going at it all together, and then there's also, like, if there was a party, because I know that there are parties like this, where you just go in, and people are just randomly having sex here, and having sex there, and they're naked, and I wouldn't want to participate in it, mainly because, of course, I wouldn't want to just go up to some stranger and start touching their genitals, and I don't want them touching mine. But I would be interested in, like, kind of observing.
Well, here's the thing with orgies. Here's the observation I always have when it comes to orgies, because of all the orgies I've clearly encountered over the years. But usually orgies happen with a bunch of ugly people. I mean, they're all a bunch of people who look like, what's his name? That famous porn star, that guy who's got the mustache and the long hair.
Oh, yeah. His name escapes me.
Yeah, of course. Like, I can't remember the fucking name.
Yeah. But I know who you're talking
but
about.
But they all look like that. They're all like...
Ron Jeremy.
Thank you very much. And it's all people who look like... Well, like, the men look like Ron Jeremy, and the women are all just oddly shaped, we'll put it that way. And, you know, but it's never like the Eyes Wide Shut orgy.
Yeah.
Where there's
all,
like,
these beautiful, gorgeous creatures.
All attractive people doing that. So, yeah, the odds are of stumbling onto an orgy, very rare.
Well, in LA, though, you never know.
But the odds of stepping into an orgy accidentally,
I know.
Very, very, very rare.
Maybe not so much in Laurel Canyon, though. But it happens all the time.
The odds of stepping into an orgy with attractive people is even more rare, I imagine.
But again, L.A. You never know.
Yeah, L.A., I guess so.
Okay, a couple more questions.
Okay.
So let's see. Who would you like to live like for a day? Maybe not live as, but live like.
Who would I like to live like for a day? Well,
that's hard, and I can't.
What do you mean? Whose
an
lifestyle
answer.
I would like to adapt?
Yeah, like what kind of lifestyle would you like to, other than your own, which obviously is your preferred lifestyle because you're choosing everything that you do. But I mean, you know, is there kind of a lifestyle that you would like to go?
I would like
experience.
To, you know what I'd like to experience is I'd like to experience what it's like to be president of the United States.
Hmm.
I mean, honest to God, I would love to live in the White House. I would love to just to get a firsthand glimpse in the real world, because I mean, I think I've got a pretty good sense of what it means to be the president in real life. I also have a sense of what it means to be a fictional president. I think a lot of us have a sense of, you know, what Jed Bartlett was like, or Michael Douglas's version of the president, et cetera, et cetera. But I think the real life version of the president would be kind of a surprise. I think it'd be much more strenuous than you would imagine. Certainly much more strenuous than Donald Trump is achieving right now.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's what I would like to do. I'd like to live at the White House. I'd like to work at the White House and especially work at the Oval Office and see what that was all like. I would never, ever in a million years imagine being president. But if I were to be transported into someone else's lifestyle, I think that would be it. Not Trump's necessarily, right, but you know, just the office of the president.
I think I would probably go for someone who gets to be in very, like, you know, someone who is either working with apes or lions or some kind of an exotic, you know, animal that you don't usually get to get close to. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I have this fantasy of just cuddling with a lion or cuddling with a tiger. You know, see it, you see people doing that occasionally who work with him, and, or, you know, Jane Goodall, working with gorillas, and, or is it Jane Goodall?
Yeah. Jane Goodall works with chimpanzees.
And then what's the one, Gorillas in the Mist woman?
Well, Diane Fossey, who's dead, but she was,
but having that opportunity.
Yeah. She studied mountain gorillas.
Yeah. I mean, I think that would be something, because I love animals so much, and, I think it would just be fun to get into their world.
Yeah, totally. I would agree with you on that.
Let's see. If you could pick, there's just going to be a couple more. If you could pick a new first name, what would it be? I know mine.
Yeah, I mean, a new first name, huh?
Yeah.
Well, God, that's a really good question. I would go with Stenny.
Why?
I don't know. I'm just kidding. Because every time I see the House Minority Whip Stenny Hoyer on television, I'm like, Stenny, that's an awesome name. I want to be Stenny.
Well, you were saying the other name, Monroe, right?
No, of course not. Monroe? No.
No, was that the name?
My girlfriend in high school, she was a descendant of James Monroe, I think he was the fourth.
And then I said that then I would confuse you with Monroe on Too Close for Comfort.
Yeah, that's right. Well, yeah, she was a descendant of Monroe, and if I had married my high school girlfriend, our kids would have to have the middle name Monroe.
Yeah.
Or at least the first male child would have to be Monroe. Jesus.
So do you have a name that you would prefer?
Yeah, it would be Big Dick McGee. No, I don't know. I don't know. I just stole that joke. That's a Bob Zaney joke. But no, I mean, I'm relatively satisfied with my name. I don't, I haven't really contemplated having a separate name.
Well, I'm pretty happy with Kimberly, but my mom wanted to name me Peyton. That's why Peyton's Choice.
Yeah.
But, my grandmother argued, and it was my father's mother, and she's like, no, everybody's going to think of Peyton Place. And of course, nobody even knows what Peyton Place is now. But so my mother just listened to my grandmother, and her second choice was Kimberly. So I like Kimberly.
You know what I would choose? Here's what I would choose. I would be Antoine.
You're such a goob. You're such a goob.
Nathaniel. Actually, Nathaniel's not a bad name.
That's kind of a cool name. Okay, how about this? Would you rather spend 5 days exploring Disney or New York City?
New York City.
Yeah, me
in
too.
In a heartbeat. Me fuck too. Disney up the asshole. Fuck Disney in the asshole. And I'm not talking about the amusement park, the actual Walt Disney. Fuck him in the asshole.
Except, look, they did give us some awesome freaking cartoons or animation. That is
true, and certainly they own Star Wars now.
Yeah.
So,
all
of the Marvel movies too.
And I'm looking forward to. We're going to be moving back east next year.
Yeah.
And so one of the things that I am just totally looking forward to is being close to New York, because I always get these urges to go to New York, and living in California and not liking traveling, I never go. So this will be an opportunity to spend some time in New York and get to know the city. And
yeah,
you know, I'm just really looking forward to that.
There used to be a show on like Discovery Channel. Channel or something like that, where they would do like hidden New York, where they would find like old like catacombs underground, yeah, and like old subway tunnels and shit like that. I mean, stuff from maybe 150 years ago, 100, 200 years ago in some cases. And that's the kind of shit that I would love to explore some, yeah, of that. That would be awesome.
Well, you know, speaking of that, I did have an opportunity when I was living in Los Angeles to go to this house. It was I think you made a donation, and this guy who lived in this Hollywood Hills kind of mansion that was falling apart, he wanted donations, so he needed to fix it up because it was just falling apart. But at one time it was a big deal and it was, yeah, really cool. So he would just, you know, hold these really cool nights where he would have a dinner and a whole bunch of people, and he would just take you on a tour through this house. And so one of the features of the house was a door leading into some underground. This is what he explained to us. We didn't actually open the door so I could see it with my own eyes. But, wow, you know, a word on the street is that there are these like tunnels in the Hollywood Hills that famous people could use to go back and forth and not have to go out, you know, and be chased by paparazzi and stuff like that. I mean, I can't imagine that that's real, but yeah, then again, I don't know. Maybe there were tunnels.
Oh, there's lots of tunnels. Yeah. There are rumored to be tunnels leading out of the White House. Yeah. There've been movies made about that.
But I mean, you think in earthquake friendly Los Angeles, last place you want to be is in a tunnel.
Yeah, please. Thank you. No.
Oh, well, I guess, let me see if there's one more. Okay.
Did you have one about being invisible?
Okay, yeah, so there's two more questions, and then we'll wrap it up. So the first one was, what would you do? Now, okay, I'm going to add to this. So the question is, what would you do if you were invisible for a day? So, it, you know, if you're invisible living where we live right now, that might be boring. But you could be invisible and go anywhere. So what would you, where would you go and what would you do?
Well, I mean, my answer just popped to mind like almost right away. I would go into the White House.
I was just going to say, me too.
The current White House, yeah, as it stands. And I would just lurk, listen, like in the Oval Office, yeah, and in the Roosevelt Room and every place Trump would go.
Yeah.
I would go invisibly.
Yeah. Just follow him around.
And just observe. And hopefully everything
and
on
find
me,
evidence of collusion.
Yeah, I would be recording everything, yeah, obviously, because
with your invisible tape recorder.
Well, we have to assume that if I was invisible, my clothes would also be invisible, right, which means that that means inanimate objects could, yeah, be invisible, which means I could bring my iPhone and record everything. Yeah. And then I would play it on the show.
Okay, so we both would do the same thing. Now, last question. And I can answer this easily. I have two. And they both involve bathrooms. What is your most embarrassing childhood memory?
Oh, yeah, that's easy. That's easy. This was badly embarrassing. When I was in first grade, I was having... This is embarrassing to talk about. Mm-hmm. When I was in first grade, I was having trouble remembering left and right.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't remember my left hand versus my right hand, mm-hmm, like which was left, which was right. I had a 50-50 shot. Teacher called on me. I got it wrong. So here's what she did. My teacher, Mrs. Killfeather. Mrs. Killfeather.
What a name.
I forget who. Like, yeah, I always remember it as Mrs. Killfeather. But my first grade teacher, as punishment for the fact that I answered the question incorrectly, and again, it was a 50-50 shot, she took a magic marker and wrote R on the, aww, back of my right hand and L on the back of my left hand, which, when you really think about it, she only needed to write,
right,
one of those letters.
Of them, exactly.
Because then, obviously, yeah, you would ascertain,
yeah,
what the other one was. But she wrote both,
wow,
on both of my hands.
What a biatch.
Couple of things. First of all, you know, I had to walk around with those scarlet letters on my hands, yeah, for the rest of the fucking day like an idiot. Second of all, I don't like shit like written on me. Yeah. I don't like jewelry. I don't like it when they stamp your hand at a club so you can go back in. I just want to I want to go immediately and wash it off. I hate shit like that. I fucking hate it. And it's just one of those things. It's one of my pet peeves. You can call it an OCD thing. I don't know what. But I don't like to be written on or, yeah, have markings on my body. So that was also sucky. But the suckiest thing was that afternoon, my grandmother was coming to visit for a couple of weeks. And it was going to be that day. And I would have to go home with this humiliation.
And explain that you were stupid.
Explain that I'm a fucking moron. and that my fucking teacher was a dick for writing on my hands. But that was really embarrassing. That's one thing I remember. And then there was another embarrassing moment at the same school, but 4 years later. In fourth grade, I really got into the habit of drawing pictures because I have a talent for drawing. Before I was doing politics, I was doing art, and I owned an animation studio for a number of years. And so I've always had the ability to draw. And in fourth grade, I was really into drawing naked women. I just would draw naked women all the time. And I drew this picture of our substitute teacher, fourth grade, but naked.
Oh my God.
Smart thing to do in class.
Yeah.
See, I'm a smart guy, right? I did it in class. And this fucking asshole who sat behind me, and I still remember his name. In fact, I found him on Facebook the other day. His name was Bobby Howland. And Bobby Howland told on me, told the substitute teacher that I had drawn this horrendous naked picture of her. Funny detail about the drawing. I didn't know at the time what tampons did. I knew that I was aware of the existence of tampons, mm-hmm. but I didn't know what you did with tampons. I didn't understand where they went, but I knew they went around somewhere around the bathing suit area. Mm-hmm. So I remember drawing like a tampon.
Oh my God.
But it was just stuck to on the drawing, it was stuck to her leg. It was just on her thigh, just hanging there. So fucking stupid. And I got in so much trouble. I had to write on the chalkboard. I had to stay after school and write on the chalkboard 100 times. I will not draw naked pictures in class. And it was just so humiliating right in the middle of the class. And the substitute teacher saw the drawing and looked at it. And it was, of course, it was stupid.
I think the worst part would have been the tampon.
Yeah. Well, I you know, and I always wonder, I always think back. Because I remember drawing her boobs really big. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if she was secretly flattered. What do you think? Like, if you were a substitute teacher...
I would just laugh.
Yeah, but
because
would you...
Because little boys and boobs, are you kidding me? I would laugh.
You'd be like... And so that was another embarrassing thing. So there you go.
Well, my two are... there's obviously so many embarrassing things, but this one was embarrassing. I was 12, and so for anybody who follows me on Facebook... You know, the other day I put up those random pictures and there was that one popular one where I had the stupid hair and the big glasses.
I love that picture.
I was about 2 years older.
You should make that the image for today's show.
Yeah, I should. But I was 2 years older than that. Still just as awkward, but slightly different hair and a little older looking, a little chubby. And anyway, I was living in Russia at the time, and I was at a party. I don't know if anybody here remembers a woman by the name of Anne Garrels, but she was the bureau chief for ABC News back in 1980,
81. I totally remember her.
So we were at a party. That was my father's boss, basically. And, you know, he was her cameraman. And so we went to a party at her apartment. And there was a guy there named Nikolai who also worked at the ABC News Bureau. And my father is still friends with him. So anyway, I was wearing this dress. It was this like purple kind of Renaissance-y looking dress that my stepmother bought for me. And I know I looked like a complete idiot dork, but I loved this dress and I thought I looked fantastic and I wore pantyhose. So I went into the bathroom and I finished and I came out and Nikolai was kind of standing by the bathroom. And I don't know how old he was. He's obviously a Russian and he was a really cool guy, probably at the time, maybe in his 30s or 40s. And he went... And he got my attention, and I'm like oblivious, and I'm like, what? And I guess I had tucked my the back of my dress into my pantyhose.
Oh my God!
So like he saw it, and I was so humiliated. It was so embarrassing. And then the other,
but that's like an accident. You didn't deliberately do that.
No, but I mean, you didn't deliberately not know your left and right hand.
But I deliberately drew a naked.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, this question is embarrassing childhood memory. So that was an embarrassing, it was so embarrassed. And then there was another time, and again, I was on an airplane. I believe I was flying home from Russia and for like the last time. And so there was a line to the bathroom and I had to go really bad. So I was waiting in line. Finally, it's my turn. And I don't sit on toilet seats. I hover. So, because I don't want that germy crap on my butt. So I don't even want to put the paper down. And so I just hovered and I just like quickly pulled my pants down and did my business. And this is so gross and embarrassing. And then I realize I'm like standing in a puddle. And I and I look and the freaking lid to the toilet was down. And then there was a peep. There was still a line.
Oh,
so I knew
shit.
That when I came out, there was going to be a freaking line of people. So I quickly pulled my pants up and washed my hands. And I come out. I'm like, somebody peed all over there. And I like ran. I was 12 years old.
Oh my
and
God.
I ran back to my seat. And I just like, oh, I was so humiliated. But that was it. That was my big humiliating moment on the plane.
Just before we wrap up the show here, I just got to tell you this. I just saw this on Twitter. Fox News tweeted a graphic showing the unemployment rates at the end of everyone's first 100 days of the last four presidents.
Uh-huh.
And you know what they're doing here. They've got Trump at 4.5%.
Okay, at the end of his presidency?
At the end of his first 100 days.
Oh, 100 days. Okay.
Trump 4.5%.
Yeah, thank you Obama.
Obama 9.0%.
Thank you Bush.
Bush 4.4%. Clinton 7.1%. This is basically to show that the Democratic presidents have a higher unemployment rate at the end of their first 100 days.
Yeah, but it's the previous administration.
Yes, it's completely meaningless. It's completely dishonest and meaningless. Yes, the unemployment rate was in fact 9% at the end of Obama's first 100 days. But that was because of the recession that happened prior to Obama even becoming president. For fuck's sake, you don't just turn the unemployment rate around in your first 100 days. It doesn't happen that way.
Yeah.
And the reason Donald Trump's unemployment rate is 4.5% is because of what's happened before him. So it's just like entirely fucking dishonest. The same with George W. Bush.
Yeah.
The same with Bill Clinton.
Exactly.
It's he was inheriting this unemployment rate from the from the previous president. This is fucking bullshit.
Yeah.
And you know what? Ugh, never mind. I'll spend the next hour. And it's already, we're already, just so you know, we're already an hour and 41 minutes.
Well, there you go. So we should end it with your favorite and one of my favorite Kenny Rogers songs.
Yeah, I love the song.
He's awesome.
Totally guilty pleasure song.
But it's not guilty because he's awesome.
It's genuinely a good song.
I love Kenny Rogers. So I'm just going to say that this whole third show thing is going to change now. I don't believe I'm going to be doing these anymore. I'm going to change it up on the Patreon page, and the reason is because your partner Chez passed away, and because of this I do more of your show with you, and the only time that we really have to do this third show is on Saturdays, which rips into my only day off. But anyway, thank you for listening, and I hope you enjoyed the show, and thank you, Bob, for keeping me company.
Thank you, Kimberly.